And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, March the 20th, 2018, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours. Now, we have to do a little bit of housekeeping here before we get to our guest on the program. As many of you know, coming up on Thursday, this program will emanate from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Heinz History Museum. Now, why are we going to be in the Heinz History Museum on Thursday? On Friday, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is getting a stamp. Fred Rogers is getting a stamp dedicated to him by the United States Postal Service on Friday, March the 23rd. We will be at that ceremony on Friday at the WQED studios in Pittsburgh, where Mr. Rogers filmed his television series for more than 30 years. That will be Friday. We will be calling in reports to this program on Friday from the dedication between 11:10 a.m. and 1:10 p.m. Now, on Thursday, in preparation for that, we will be at the Heinz History Museum from 12 to 5 p.m. in Pittsburgh, because that is where the set, the actual set, the castle, the living room that Mr. Rogers used all those years is. When the series ended, it was transported over to the Heinz History Museum, and we will be broadcasting live from the Mr. Rogers set, the actual set. Trolley and all, puppets, whole bit, and a lot of guests that day who knew Mr. Rogers well. Also, tomorrow on this program, we'll have a representative from the United States Post Office who will be talking about how this stamp came to be. That guest will be on tomorrow at 12:15. So a whole lot of stuff going on. And here's a little bit of trivia. Today, March the 20th, would have been Mr. Rogers' 90th birthday. Fred Rogers would have been his 90th birthday today. But after saying all of that, we get to our guest today. He is the current running mate for a candidate who is running in the Republican primary for governor here in Ohio. She's been a guest on this program many times, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. So we're always glad to welcome her running mate for the second time to this program, Nathan Estruth. Nathan, how are you?
I am well, Scott. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Oh, doing well. You know, is today the first day of spring or tomorrow? I thought it was tomorrow.
I believe it's tomorrow.
I think so, too. That's what I always thought. But I'm hearing people say it today, but it doesn't feel that way.
I'm not sure it's going to feel that way tomorrow either. But, yeah, it's almost here regardless.
Absolutely. Well, as we head into spring, we head into a Republican primary. It's coming up in May. The only two left are Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, Attorney General Mike DeWine. How do you feel this is going with less than 60 days to go?
Well, the momentum is picking up. It's going very well. I'd say we are seeing people not only realize that we're less than 50 days out from voting on May 8th, but that there's a clear choice between a conservative ticket with Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth and really a career politician establishment ticket with Mike DeWine. You know, 60 years on the public dole is what Mike DeWine brings us, and Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth bring 40 years of private sector experience and conservative values. And that matters, not only in a Republican primary, but in November. You know, one indicator, Scott, I give you is Miami County is the only county in Ohio that, out of all 88, that actually does a convention in advance of the May 8th vote. And we had 400 people on the floor of that convention a week ago Sunday. And, you know, Mike DeWine got 10 minutes, and we got 10 minutes, and Mary Taylor won by over 12 points in Mike DeWine's backyard. And that's, I think, indicative of what we're seeing, which is conservatives are coming home to the Taylor Estruth ticket.
Well, what is going on that every time something is written, it always says Mary Taylor has a lot of ground to make up?
Well, I think what you see there is really the establishment being the establishment and trying to protect their own. the ground to make up is name ID. So Mike DeWine being on the ballot, you know, every decade for the last five, certainly his name is better known than Mary Taylor's. And but as people realize, there's really only, you know, two tickets and a choice here. And when they look at Mary Taylor's record as a conservative who voted to ban abortion in Ohio, who championed concealed carry in Ohio, and who stood up against her own party and voted against the Taft tax increase when John Husted voted for it, Mike DeWine's running mate, they realize there's a clear choice. And So those numbers really are becoming, you know, less meaningful as people start to wake up, and we're seeing the numbers close pretty quickly. And I think the fact that you know, the feeling on the ground and the Miami County vote, and the fact that you really haven't seen a lot of polls recently indicating that there's this massive lead, is showing you that that we are making this a very competitive race, because conservatives win in two-way primaries.
Democrats have had quite a few debates. They have some more before the primary coming up in May. No Republican primary debates. Why is that?
Well, Scott, we'd love your help with that. I think you and I talked that briefly last time I was with you. You know, the Republican Party not only promised not to endorse in this race, but they promised to have debates, and they did endorse their establishment leader, Mike DeWine, and they've refused to have debates. And I do think that's a black eye for the party and for Mike DeWine. Now, I think the real reason is, if you're Mike DeWine, you don't want to have to stand on a stage and answer how it is that you voted as the U.S. Senator from Ohio for amnesty for illegal immigrants, or why you voted to spend taxpayer dollars to fund illegal immigrants' tuition, or why you voted to give them Social Security numbers as a U.S. Senator, or why as Attorney General you voted to give those same illegal immigrants with Social Security numbers driver's licenses. And it's really hard to believe, you know, his statements that he's a conservative when you look at his record. So I think that's why we're not having debates, is Mike DeWine knows that if he stands on a stage with Mary Taylor, he loses.
At the last debate, which we covered, I sat down with David Pepper, the head of the Democratic Party in Ohio, and I said, if Mike DeWine gets the nomination, do you think he's going to debate in the fall? And there's even some doubt that he would debate in the general election. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's it is, I would say, disrespectful of Ohio voters in the Republican primary that Mike DeWine won't agree to debate. And, you know, I would say keep pressing. Please help us. We've said anywhere, anytime, we will have a debate. Mary Taylor is happy to do so. I'd love to do it on your show. You know, if you can get him to agree, we'll do a joint appearance. But it's disrespectful of the voters. And quite frankly, I think it speaks to an arrogance of 60 years on the public dole. When you're a career politician with Mike DeWine and John Husted for over 60 years, you begin to think that somehow you're entitled to the role or the position versus really being a public servant. You begin to think that government is the answer to everything. And what you have with Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth is a healthy distrust of government. Right, we really do believe that, as Reagan said, when government expands, liberty contracts. And so our job is to bring small government conservative solutions. And Mike DeWine doesn't want to be held accountable for his votes, his very liberal votes, and his actions as even Attorney General that undermine his credibility as a conservative.
This is something I want to bring up because I think it's important, because a big issue for Ohio voters right now is gun rights, gun safety, gun laws. Now, it's interesting because I think there are some ads that are starting today in Ohio put out by your campaign that says Mike DeWine has an F rating from the NRA. Now, attending the last Democratic debate, I know that they hung that Rich Cordray had an A rating around his neck. Now, is that accurate in your opinion, that the front runner in the Democratic Party has an A rating from the NRA, and the front runner in the Republican Party has an F rating.
Well, first, I think the ad that you're referring to, I happened to see an hour ago, is not from our campaign. It's from an independent effort, but they did reference that Mike DeWine earned an F from the NRA based on his U.S. Senate vote. I think technically, if you go to the NRA website today, he has upgraded that from an F to a C or a C plus. But Mary Taylor is an A and has always been so. And so, you know, you have a clear choice again on standing for Second Amendment freedoms, where Mary has been a consistent A throughout her voting record in public life in Ohio. And Mike DeWine, you know, has been failing to see at best. And so there is a stark difference there. And, you know, he partnered with Chuck Schumer in the U.S. Senate to take away our Second Amendment rights. And that's why he earned that F. And that's why all three board members from Ohio of the NRA, Ken Blackwell, Sean Maloney, Linda Walker, have all endorsed Mary Taylor. There is a clear difference here.
And I do want to correct that. It was put out by Onward Ohio, not the Mary Taylor campaign. But interestingly enough, Ryan Steubenrock from the DeWine campaign, seeing these ads, now I want to make sure I get his quote right here. He says, in a statement, this is from, he's DeWine's campaign spokesman, said DeWine, through the 2006 immigration reform bill, which failed to pass the U.S. House, voted to build a wall, hire more than 15,000 new border agents, and crack down on employees hiring illegal aliens. As Attorney General, DeWine also filed legal briefs supporting Trump's efforts to defund sanctuary cities and restrict travel from countries including North Korea, Syria, Somalia, and Venezuela. Mike DeWine is the only candidate who has taken action to defend his conservative positions and President Trump. Ohio voters see a lieutenant governor whose 15-plus years in politics are defined by scandals, inaction, and empty rhetoric. She is unfit and unqualified to be governor. That's today from Ryan Steubenrock, the campaign spokesman for Mike DeWine.
Well, I guess, you know, when you look at the record, I'd say voters need to discern what's a voting record versus what are words. So he won't debate. He sends out his campaign spokesman to try and smear Mary Taylor, but no specifics. Here's the specifics. Mike DeWine voted as your U.S. Senator for Amnesty for Illegal Immigrants, partnering with Hillary Clinton. Go to dcdewine.org and look it up. All the votes are listed that I've talked about today, dcdewine.org. They're all there. He voted for judges that undermine Second Amendment freedoms, from Sonia Sotomayor to Merrick Garland. He voted to undermine George W. Bush's 10 most conservative judges as part of the Gang of 14 effort when he partnered again with Democrats, right? So you see again and again, establishment politicians think when they're running in a primary that they can claim to be conservatives and, I guess, choose to go personal on a conservative like Mary Taylor, but give no specifics. We're talking about his record. We're not going personal. This is his record. That's why he won't debate. He can't stand on his record and look you in the face and say he's a conservative.
Nathan, one of the things that I'm hearing from Republicans is that there are Democrats, and they are saying what they're saying over there, but this Republican primary has gotten very ugly. You refer to Mike DeWine as D.C. DeWine. I believe Lieutenant Governor Taylor, last time she was on, did that as well. She said on this program about a month ago that she would not support him if he was the nominee. Now he, through a spokesman, is saying she's unfit to be governor. Whoever comes out of this primary, has some damage been done here?
Well, Scott, I think when I last was on, you asked me a similar question, and I guess the answer I gave then still stands, which is, you know, I stepped out of the private sector after 27 years to help Mary Taylor become governor because I think part of the reason for the mess that we're in is we keep sending career politician establishment Republicans back into office hoping that they will vote differently than they did before. So I don't think it is an ugly race to actually, in truth and grace, call out someone's voting record. If we don't do that, we as citizens are not doing our job. I've never been a politician before. I've never even run for office. But I can't step into the public square and ask people not to look at his voting record. You have to look at his voting record. That's the issue.
I think that's fair, and I think the Democrats are doing that. I think where it's gotten worse is what D.C. DeWine, she's unfit to be governor, that I would vote for him, but I would not support him. I don't think he can win. Those, that they're not doing that on the Democratic side.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think he can win, you know, I think is really based on in 2006 when Mike DeWine lost the U.S. Senate race to Sherrod Brown because of the very liberal voting record that we're talking about. You know, Mary Taylor outpolled him as state auditor by 175,000 votes, right? Mary Taylor is a much stronger general election candidate than Mike DeWine because she's a conservative, but she's also an accountant and a mom. And that makes a difference, and it's much more appealing to independents and even Democrats. And so that's the why, you know, we say Mary Taylor is the stronger nominee to win in November. Again, it's not personal. Those are just facts. So I think sticking to the facts is where we should be. I think you and I could agree on that. And I think when you last asked me, you know, would I vote for Mike DeWine if he did happen to be the nominee, my answer stands, which is, you know, I think he's probably a little less liberal than Dennis Kucinich or Richard Cordray. So if given that choice, yeah, I probably would. But he certainly isn't my first choice. And I don't think he's the best choice on May 8th.
Well,
Mary Taylor is.
And as I say, you and Lieutenant Governor Taylor have always been gracious with your time, and I appreciate that. And I also have extended the invitation to Attorney General DeWine, and he's welcome to come on anytime. He currently is the only person on either side who has not been on the show, but we will see how that goes. But I think what's happening here, and it's just my take on this thing, is that you're right, voting record. I understand that. I get that. But I can see if Lieutenant Governor Taylor gets the nomination, I don't see Mike DeWine supporting her, and he's already, through a spokesman, called her unfit to be governor. I don't know that he's done that for the Democrats. Governor Kasich, who won 86 out of 88 counties last time, the lieutenant governor has said she really doesn't want his help. It's nice that he backed her, but that's not where they're going, where you're going. You know, what is the Republican Party in Ohio at this point? With the governor? With the attorney general? It seems like everybody's got a completely different stance.
Well, as we've said, Scott, you know, I think you know I had the privilege as a young man to intern in Ronald Reagan's White House before I joined Procter & Gamble. And he's famous for saying, right, don't lift banners of pale pastels but of bold primary colors as Republicans. And I do think you're right that Mike DeWine and John Kasich have failed in that endeavor. And if you look at the Republican state house and how little we have gotten done relative to other states on the policies that Mary and I have laid out, it is time to return to those bold primary colors. And, you know, that's, I think, why you're seeing some of this dynamic. It's why you see the party coming around in establishment to preserve their power versus actually stand on principle. And, you know, so at times I do think you have to speak truth to power, and it's a little messy, but that's what we're doing. We're standing on Mary's record and Mike DeWine's record. And when you look at those two records, I think you'll find that the Republican primary voters on May 8th will choose Mary Taylor because she is the conservative that can bring, you know, conservative values and principles back to the Ohio Republican Party again. And well, she can do so in a way that allows us to win in November because we can talk about those conservative values and principles in a way that's actually attractive to the broader population in Ohio. Mike DeWine clearly can't do that. He won't even show up on your show to talk about it.
Well, and we hope he does. With 3 minutes left, though, it's an interesting dynamic. We've talked about Attorney General DeWine. Well, I want to throw one more question out there. Just guesting on shows, I haven't seen him on television interviews. I haven't seen him on radio interviews, not just this show, many others. Why do you think that is?
Well, Scott, I honestly have to only presume that it's because he does not want to have to answer questions about his record, right? I have had the privilege to catch him in a room or two where he spoke and I spoke. He won't agree to a debate. But when he's asked questions by the audience, it rattles him. He doesn't like to have to answer. In Butler County, a young man asked him, well, how is it that you could vote to spend taxpayer dollars to fund Social Security and tuition for illegal immigrants? And, I mean, his answer was literally, I made tens of thousands of votes, and I don't remember that one, right? That's part of the problem. He's made so many votes he can't remember. If those are his words, not mine, then, you know, at the end of the day, that's a problem, right? If we are to truly be conservatives and the Ohio Republican Party is not only to stand for those conservative principles, but to articulate them in a way that moves Ohioans to embrace them, it's a problem to have someone who wants to lead who has a record that is not conservative and won't even talk about that record or even his vision for Ohio in front of people other than in cloistered rooms that just are Republican Party officials. So I do believe it is time for a change and that the people of Ohio are sensing that. Returning to the establishment again and again is almost the definition of insanity. We can't expect different results, right? We have to stick with those who bring 40 years of private sector experience and consistent conservative values. That's how we transform our state. That's how we transform our party, to stand for the principles that we hold dear.
My last question has to do with Governor Kasich, because he is still the governor. He'll be the governor until January of next year. He gave his last state of the state, and after that, Lieutenant Governor Taylor tweeted, was her tweet. And she has said she hasn't met with him in quite some time, and that she has his endorsement, but really doesn't need it. He's not involved in the campaign. This is a two-term Republican governor who won 86 out of 88 counties last time, and she's his lieutenant governor. I mean, I assume they had some kind of relationship at some point, and a lot of people, a lot of Republicans, see that as disloyalty. That she is sort of she's not being kind to him at this point, that there is no relationship. How do you convince those people that that's the right thing to do to a popular, very popular governor?
Yeah, well, Scott, I appreciate you asking the question, because remember, I haven't been involved in Ohio politics at all for the last 8 years during that relationship that you describe. I'm a guy who is raising, you know, our four kids with my wife, Madonna, and growing businesses here in the private sector in Southwest Ohio. And so my take on that is, I looked at Mary Taylor and I said, honestly, Mary, this was before I said yes, I'm not enthusiastic about where the governor has taken our state, and you're his lieutenant governor. And her response, looking right back at my wife and I as we were interviewing her, was, John Kasich left me. John Kasich left the Republican Party and conservative principles. I didn't leave him, and I'm still the conservative I always have been. And you know what? As I've gotten to know Mary over the last 10 weeks, and as we've talked about policies and dreams and aspirations for what we want to bring Ohio, I know that to be true. I think Mary Taylor was loyal to the extent that, as lieutenant governor, as constitutional conservatives, there's only one job that a lieutenant governor has according to the Ohio Constitution. That's being a heartbeat away. There's no other statutory authority. So Mary Taylor worked as the conservative voice inside, but John Kasich left her. She went to the Trump convention in Cleveland. He didn't. And ever since she is declared for governor, she's been able to have her own voice and talk about the policies that she felt she was advocating for all along, and now she wants to bring as governor. She hasn't changed. John Kasich is the one that left her, and quite frankly, in many ways, has left the Republican Party and Republican and conservative principles. That's my read on it. I'm not an insider. I don't know, but since you asked me, Scott, that's the calculation my wife and I had to go through. And Mary's answer has, you know, been consistent, and quite frankly, has held firm. Well, so we're excited to help her bring those conservative principles and conservative governing philosophy back to the state of Ohio as the next governor.
I tell you,
the people help us on May 8th.
Well, and I think the quandary there is just simply, I understand everything you just said, and I think that's a lot of people's take, and maybe that is what happened, but what I think people don't understand is, why did he endorse her? He didn't have to do that. That's what people don't, and I don't get that dynamic. I really don't. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know these players, Scott. That's part of, like it or not, I'm an outsider who's never run for office, and I will bring, you know, private sector solutions to help Mary govern the state of Ohio. Should we be elected governor and lieutenant governor? I can't guess at, you know, the John Kasich's psyche or his personality. I don't know the man, so I don't want to presume at this point. What I can do, though, is, again, look at the facts. And the fact of the matter is, John Kasich's campaign manager for his presidential 527, okay, so the independent presidential campaign for John Kasich for president, is running Mike DeWine's campaign. When I looked at that, I say, okay, I get it. If you want Kasich 2.0, it looks like it's Mike DeWine.
Well, Nathan Esdruth, I thank you for coming on this program. I hope we can do it again, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Scott, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and I would love to come back anytime. So appreciate just the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nathan Esdruth, Mary Taylor's running mate. There you go. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anything in that conversation hit you of any interest at this point? Would love to talk to you about that, because it's kind of fascinating. Because I do think there is, and we've talked about it on this show before, I do think there is an underlying current in this Republican primary of why did Governor Kasich endorse Lieutenant Governor Taylor, and then there's, so, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Do you think she can make the time up? 740-383-9944. Do you like what Nathan Esdruth had to say here on the program? A man from the private sector. Is that a good idea for somebody to be Lieutenant Governor? Interesting stuff, to say the least. Toll-free lines are open. We certainly would love to talk to you out there in the listening audience. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call and we will get you up on the air as quick as possible. A lot of talk about gun rights, to say the least. And it's gun rights, gun safety, gun laws. Who knows what it's all about? But certainly that is the talk of the day. Everywhere you go, I am hearing about kids who are not getting dismissed absences because of the walkouts last week, and people who are being fined, and policies that are being changed, and things that are going through legislatures, and the NRA is not happy, and certain campaigns have this rating and certain campaigns have that rating. It's a very interesting world we live in right now, to say the least. But it's good for us because there's news, as there always is. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We certainly would love to talk to you about whatever is on your mind. And I'll tell you, I misspoke last week about the Stormy Daniels interview that is supposed to be on 60 Minutes. I said last week, well, it's actually going to be on this week, Sunday the 25th. Now, I don't understand this thing at all, because now there's been a lawsuit filed Donald Trump has filed a lawsuit against Stormy Daniels. They don't want that interview to air on Sunday. She says she'll give back the money that she took. Her lawyer says she's been physically threatened. Does anybody understand this? Because, okay, if he had an affair, okay, he did. I think, you know, I don't know if he did or not, but I'll say this. I think most people think he did. Most people I've talked to think he did have this affair with her. Okay, fine. But what does she have to say that the other women did not have to say? Because he did have other affairs, and a lot of women, if I remember right, accused him, like 12 or 13, of sexual assault during the campaign. I don't remember him suing them or paying them hush money. So what is it about this particular woman that hush money had to be paid? And I just don't understand that. And what is 60 Minutes taking so long about? Because I heard that they are vetting this interview, and vetting means they're checking the facts. Now, how could you ever know, really, if they had an affair? You either believe her or you believe him. But what else has she said in this interview that they have to vet the facts so they don't go on and state something wrong that she... what does this woman know? It's very strange. I can't quite figure this. Because of all the people who he did whatever he did with, what would this woman know? I don't understand it. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What is the deal? What is going on there? It's very odd. It's an odd thing. Today, Mr. Rogers' 90th birthday, what would have been his 90th birthday, that's kind of interesting. Hard to believe he would be 90 years old. I saw a little video of a documentary, I think that's going to be released this summer, on Mr. Rogers, and it looks like just a fantastic documentary. But would have been 90 years old today, March 20th, 2018. He was born March 20th, 1928. Of course, died in 2003. I believe it was stomach cancer, but a fascinating man. And it seems like a man who had no... what should I say? A man who had no scandal in his life, or at least if he did, I've never heard of it. It seemed like he lived the way he was supposed to. It's interesting. 740-383-9944. Give us a call if you want to comment on anything we are talking about today. Now, here's something interesting. Are you following what's going on the court, drug court? There's going to be a graduation, court graduation, on Friday, April the 20th. It's from 12 to 12:50, 50 minutes, at the First Church of the Nazarene Community Room at 233 West Church Street. The guest speaker will be Kerr Murray, Marion County Commissioner. There will be cake and refreshments to follow. But this will be honoring new graduates of the Marion County Common Pleas Focusing Individual Recovery Success and Treatment Court. There'll be a celebration to honor their achievement and hear their recovery stories. So, if you're interested to know about what's been going on with drugs and what's going on in court, I think this would be something you might want to attend. It's the graduation ceremony, Friday, April the 20th, from 12 noon until 12:50 at the First Church of the Nazarene Community Room at 233 West Church Street. Kerr Murray is the guest speaker, and you will hear stories, recovery stories, about people who have been through this program. So if you're curious, that's Friday, April 20th. So don't miss that. 740-383-9944, telephone number. Phone lines are wide open. 740-383-9944. Give me a ring and we will chat about whatever you would like to chat about. That's one of the hallmarks of what we do here at WWGH Radio. Now, it is a sunny day, and we still have some warm weather out there. So maybe everybody's out enjoying the warm weather today. You know, last night, I went on a walk at about 7 o'clock, because it stays daylight longer now, and you can go out and walk. And I thought, boy, it's going to be nice outside. It won't be bad. Woo, I will tell you something. These evenings are very cold. It was very cold last night at about 7 o'clock. Sent a chill right through me. But I still went out and walked. Now, I don't think I caught a cold, or at least if I did, it hasn't crept up on me yet. And I certainly hope that it doesn't creep up on me this week with all the Mr. Rogers celebration going on. But it's fascinating how the weather can change from one point in the day to another point in the day. And tomorrow, possibly snow, I guess. That's what I hear. I don't. Everybody will run to the grocery store tonight, but will it happen? I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. The projections certainly look interesting, to say the least. 740-383-9944. If you have a comment or question, give us a ring. We will put you on the air. 740-383-9944. I think the Republican primary for governor is getting quite mean and harsh. I don't know. I think it's going to be very hard as they head into the fall to walk back some of these statements, to say that Mary Taylor is unfit to be governor, to call the Attorney General D.C. DeWine. I don't know. I just think that's going to be very hard to walk back. Or is it all just campaigning? Is it all just rhetoric and everybody forgets it? One in one ear and out the other. I don't know. I think it's very interesting. And I also think it's very interesting what our news is covering now. Now, there's a lot of stuff that the news is doing very well with currently, covering things very well, and we wouldn't hear about a lot of it if it wasn't for the news. But then they do some trivial things. Like last week, the story about Hillary Clinton hurting her wrist by falling in the bathtub. Now, what kind of story is that? I mean, that's news? I just, that one kind of blew me away. And it kind of speaks to the polarization of this country. Because I would guess the only reason that that was posted was to make Hillary look bad. I don't know, anybody can fall in the bathtub, I would think. But I didn't get that story. I mean, she's not president. She's not in public office. She's a former first lady, former senator, former secretary of state. And her falling in the bathtub, hurting her wrist, breaking her wrist or whatever it was, is national news. You know, it was just like when they did the story on Donald Trump's hair. I thought, what? That's news? That's national news? That's ridiculous. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I know you don't have a lot of time, but just an observation. Did you happen to see the article in the Dispatch on Sunday about the Republican primary?
I did. It was an interesting article.
Yeah, the thing I thought was interesting was the fact that that particular day that they were campaigning, I think it was on a Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, DeWine talked to several hundred supporters through the day, and unfortunately, Lieutenant Governor Taylor only spoke to about 35 or 40, something like that. It's sad, but it looks to me like it's pyramiding out of control in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's going to be hard for him to lose because the Republican Party has already endorsed him. But yeah. I just think their rhetoric is, it makes the Democrats look like they're just bouncing softballs.
Yeah, it made me think about a comment that Mary Ellen made a few weeks ago when she said she really hated primaries because in a primary, the same party has to turn against one another. And so hopefully, as you says, maybe after it's all over with, they'll circle the wagons and, everybody will be fine. But right now, it's getting pretty down and dirty.
Well, I don't know how you walk back some of this. I know people can walk back people's records. They can say, but at least they're more conservative than the opposing person. When you say you're not going to support, when you call somebody unfit, when you say that they are liberal, that's awful hard. When you start calling somebody D.C. DeWine and make a website... Ooh.
A lot of that's hard to take back.
I don't know how you walk that back. And if she does happen to get the nomination, now his spokesperson has said she's unfit to be governor.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
That's pretty crucial. But anyway, I thought that was interesting about the numbers that they were reaching that particular day. Hey, good luck on your trip, and have a good time.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Telephone lines are open. You can call in as well, 740-383-9944. It is interesting that there's this big, big divide in the Republican Party in Ohio. I mean, the governor is Republican. Governor Kasich is Republican. But apparently there's a different belief system there, a split somewhere down the party. Now, will this happen all over the United States, or is this just an Ohio thing? Or do you think this split has happened other places? I don't know. It's very confusing, is all I can say at this particular juncture. We're going to come up on a break here in about 40 seconds. We'll come back, talk a lot more, take some more phone calls, 740-383-9944. Always something interesting going on. And remember, a little bit of trivia for the day. Fred Rogers would have been 90 years old today. Can you imagine that? Watching him when you were a child, it's hard to believe that that man would have been 90 years old today. Fred Rogers' 90th birthday. Of course, again, he passed away in 2003, so that's not the case, but he would have been 90. We're going to come back in 10 minutes with much more programming. Don't you dare go away. You're listening to WWGH Radio.